After the closing jingle this week, we've got an interview with Ty Herndon. He's got a brand new book out. It is really good and pretty wild stuff in there. And so we'll kind of touch on some of it in the interview after the closing jingle.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
That's kind of like, it's like Glee meets the What You Say song. It's remember us. What to say.
5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast.
I like the way they do that. And then you kind of keep that all the way through.
All right, it's about to go away. As soon as it's done,
they disappear forever.
Big D and Bubba's podcast.
That's it.
Yeah.
You didn't like it?
It felt like a mashup of two textures that weren't working for me.
Who asked you?
You did, actually. You did.
That's my joke. What a fun day. Fun week.
What a week.
I'm looking forward to Monday. May the 4th be with us.
Okay, I got to put up with that.
Glad you are. Dude, I get excited, man. I mean, you know
Chris Young.
Chris Young hopefully will be on the show. I think that's June. Good and lined up. What?
In June.
Oh, we get it rescheduled?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I texted him. I didn't realize he was coming in.
Oh, no. Were you supposed to have him in on Monday?
We're going to call him.
Oh, do that too. Oh, I just added it to your calendar maybe 20 minutes ago.
Oh.
For June. That's fine. It's still a month out.
Oh, okay.
Who cares?
All right. Go into my calendar. Oh, there it is.
You're welcome.
Chris Young.
You don't think about it. Chris has so many hits. Him and Justin Moore. Let me pull it up. How many number ones? Let's do top tens.
Okay.
How many top 10 songs does Chris Young have?
I'm going to say 17. It's a good number.
I was going to say in the 20s.
I'll say 12. I like the number 12.
If we're going top 10, I think.
Top
20. I mean, I could have
asked
Sexy
Well,
Garage.
He's got, you want to do that?
Oh.
No.
Why?
What?
We almost made it the entire week.
He's got 14 number ones.
All right. Hey, Sexy Grok, how many top 10 hits does Chris Young, the country singer, have? Oh, she's thinking.
She's not giving you some smarmy answer yet.
Sounds like one of those electric vehicles backing up.
It does.
It's like I'm in Epcot.
Around 16 or 17 top 10 hits on the country airplay
chart. Around?
He's got 14 number ones alone, plus a few more that stopped in the top five, like Who I Am With You, Lonely Eyes, and Raised on Country. Billboard's artist page oddly says zero top 10s on the Hot 100, but that's the pop chart. On country radio, the guy's been a beast for years.
Beast.
Some favorites?
My favorites are Sexy Grok, After Dark.
No, yeah.
Oh, see what she says.
Gross.
Why do you even date?
Oh, After Dark, huh? That's cute. But I think you meant one of Chris Young's songs, right?
Oh.
Anyway,
looks like
he's got about...
Okay.
Oh, hit the power
She's
off.
She's not being as flirty today.
No.
Thank God.
But can you isolate that beast thing for him? I feel like he needs
to
hear it.
Back.
He needs to hear it.
Who was it we had in? We were like, we asked, okay, Grok, can you tell us about something that the people don't know about whoever the artist was?
Oh, and it was
and they tell this song, and they're like, guy goes, that never happened. I'm like, what? Yeah, there's an AI slop.
Yes.
Oh, you know what? That was Craig Morgan. Wasn't it? Because it was talking about how he fell.
It was Trace Atkins.
I think Trace
was one of them. I think there was two of them.
I think it was Trace.
Where he had like a parachuting accident or something dumb like that.
That didn't happen. That never happened.
Yeah. Love on the Spectrum. I do want to mention this before we get too deep into this. Y'all got me hooked. Y'all have got me on the Love on the Spectrum bandwagon, and I'm so excited. Tanner or Tyler? Who's coming
Tyler.
In? Okay, so Tyler's coming in like in...
I wish Tanner was coming in.
Dude, Tanner is invited. Anytime he wants
He's
to come
fun,
in.
He's fun, man. What a good kid.
Yeah, I just... This show is great. I can't stop talking about it. Everybody I talk to, I'm like, are you watching Love on the Spectrum? I get so excited about it. It's the sweetest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. They do a really good job with it. Mm. Because that's sensitive. Like you're yes. dealing with people who are neurodivergent.
Neurodivergent.
And I stayed away because I thought it was capitalizing on them. I was like, I don't want to watch these people's families.
Yeah, you could feel an exploitive vibe if it wasn't done correctly.
And it doesn't feel like that at all. Like the families, so seeing the moms crying and stuff, like, oh my gosh, it's so good to see them happy and this is the one thing they dreamed of. And I mean, like hearing, it wasn't Tanner. What's the guy? Who one who talks like that? You know the one?
Yeah.
He's very deep. I can't think of his name. But anyway, he, you know, sitting there talking about how all of his siblings have boyfriends and girlfriends or they're married and they've gone off and started their lives. And he's like, I've been single my entire life. I've never dated my entire life. And I want to know what love is, like the Foreigner song. And I know you laughed. I know. But it's like you see that and you go, you know, you just never think that, you know what? That's what they're missing. That's what they want is that human experience. We all do. And it's the sweetest thing. And I'm so glad that you guys turned me on to it because I feel like I'm a better person now for watching it.
Good. I was trying to find the guy's name. I forget.
It's not really like a K or a C or something.
Connor.
No, it's not.
No, it's not Connor. It was the guy we were talking about him before.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah.
He's the guy in Atlanta. I'm actually Googling.
Connor.
It is Connor.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Anyway,
so sweet. So sweet. Like, I would hang out with him. I'd be like, dude, let's hang.
Well,
he's so hard on himself. Like watching himself beat himself up all the time. Like,
With Tyler coming in, he is he's so sweet with Abby, and she moved down. He lives in Florida. He lives in Florida, and she moved there to be not in the same house, but near him. Just in the same city.
I haven't gotten to him. Is he season 3 or 4?
3 and 4.
Okay, because I'm still on 2.
Yeah, you haven't met him yet.
He's the country guy.
Yeah.
He loves country music, and talks about his truck and plays guitar and sings and is a DJ, all kinds of stuff. So it's pretty cool. I love it. What's another show? I need to find a new kind of show to watch every once in a while.
Do you want like reality or do you want scripted? No, I'm not a big.
Yeah.
Reality's hit and miss for me and mostly miss. But again, there's always a Love on the Spectrum, which is surprisingly good.
I
think most reality TV is kind of garbage.
I watched a lot of Love is Blind, you know, and I just got burned out on it.
Yeah. The latest season, I'll be honest, Love is Blind, the new one, you didn't even need to watch it until after they met face to face because that's where all the drama was.
Yeah.
And even that was, I feel like they're purposely, I get it. You want people to watch. You want the eyeballs. You're not there to actually make love connections. But it felt so forced in people who obviously were on it trying to make a name for themselves in that, whether it's...
Oh, they just want to be influencers?
Yeah.
That's the problem is reality TV is giving people that chance to get the exposure, to get them the following on their socials so they can start pitching, you know, TikTok shop.
Yep, exactly. And that's where I get very... It just feels so forced and it's so false that I don't want to be bothered with it. I'll start... Because I have a lot of friends who are like, oh my gosh, are you watching The Bachelor this season? Are you watching... And I'm like, no... And then I feel pressure that I should, so I have something to talk to my friends about. Right? Like, no, I mean, although I will tell you, I found, I hit some random button on my Amazon Prime remote the other day, my Prime TV, Fire TV, whatever. And it was, here's a slew of channels where you can just watch multiple episodes of the same TV show. And I got into Love After Lockup. Which is the people.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, that sounds fun.
I'm going to tell you what, I like this, and I say, here's me going like, I'm too erudite for reality television. Oh no, give me people who just got out of prison. Like, I'm all like, and I've watched it. I've
Does
seen
it follow
it here
their story like when they're in prison?
They did some where you have people who have relationships with people on the outside, and you'll see them on video chats. Yeah, they do video chats. I didn't know that was a whole thing.
Wow.
But then they get out, and you see the guy who, the woman that he's engaged to, quote unquote, and she picks him up, and she's all ready to start playing house. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to hit the club because I haven't seen my boys in 18 to 24, like however long, many months he was in.
I think
so
he
he's out
seen
all night
boys.
Drinking. Oh, he wants to hang. And she's like, baby, when are you coming home? And he's like, I ain't got time for this. And it's, oh my God, it's amazing. Like, it's so
bad.
Why
would you want to give up your freedom when you just got your freedom back?
When you just got it. Like, they're ready to, these women are ready to, like, and they're dudes too. Oh, you get the guys who bail out the chick, and amazingly enough, he can't find her. She's gotten on a plane to go get her actual boyfriend.
Okay.
But thanks for all the money you sent me from the commie.
the con.
Commissary.
Yeah, commissary.
Oh, my
God. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's so trash.
All right. I'm sending this to my phone right now. Love. Is love
lockup.
After lockup?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just pulled up my YouTube and just looking at the things that I watch.
Oh, your history?
Yeah, I've got a flight simulator video. I've got a bunch of baseball stuff. I gotta tell you, I really enjoy it. I found I enjoy watching sniper, like Call of Duty, and they have a. Well, I like watching people play video games.
Yeah,
and I can't believe I do, but I do.
It's Twitch.
Yeah, it is. People who. Well, we talked about the guy who unclogs.
Oh, yeah.
Drains.
Yeah, sewers, the whole thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Been into the live cam of Shadow and Jackie, or whatever the name, the Eagles.
The Eagles, yeah.
And Big Bear, Bear Valley. The kids are just growing up so fast. I mean, before you know it, they're just going to be empty nesters.
Ooh, you forgot one—the hydraulic press that smushes stuff.
You know, I got out of that. I
used
was into
to watch
it.
That. I think we all go through that stage.
If I run across a video and a guy has a helmet camera on, a head camera on, and he's like a cook, like a
chef
of any kind, I'm in.
Oh, like, they'll do that? So it's like first-person view of like chef's kitchen, and they're just telling you what they're doing, and you're...
No, sometimes they don't even talk.
Oh, what?
They're just... they're just going to... He's taking the order, and then
and
he goes
you know
over,
what's
cracks
going on?
The egg. Yeah, I mean, you would too. He's just cracking eggs, throwing on the flat top, doing this thing, the griddle, doing this thing, putting all that. But here's the thing I really notice is I notice that sometimes when I go out to eat, especially at those kind of diner-y kind of places, and you get... hash browns and eggs and bacon, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I always feel terrible afterwards. And I started watching these videos, and I'm like, well, I know why now.
Why?
Every video I've watched where they cook on a griddle, a flat top, when they do, say they take hash browns, they take the real potatoes, and they'll put them on the thing, and then they reach over, and there is this...
A ladle?
It's a ladle of... it kind of looks like clarified butter, but it's not.
What is it?
It is a chemical concoction that is butter-flavored, and they pour it on everything. If they're going to make that, they'll put it... They kind of use it like you would use olive oil, but it's... I looked it up, and... I'll tell you in a second.
Why don't they just use regular butter?
Too expensive. Fake Butter Saver, is that the name of it? Yeah, they all use it. And it's in a ton of restaurants. Even, the higher-end restaurants, not so much. They will use real butter. But a lot of these, like, drive-by diners and that kind of stuff, they have it in, like, jugs. And they'll just pour it out. And then just ladle it on whenever they need some sort of an oil to go with whatever they're cooking.
Mm.
They even put them in eggs, all kinds of stuff.
Because I noticed that when I go to the diner and I always get my standard like omelet, pancakes, whatever, they take that ladle and they just, it goes on the griddle.
Yep.
And it's, and I assume it's there for, you know, to make the nonstick that it helps get, so they can flip things around. But like you said, there's always that, it's almost a residue that feels that it's left over on your plate. It's left over, even if you're eating toast. It's always, it's like a film that's kind of there.
I literally
still
just
delicious.
This is on Reddit. What is the product that lots of, this is, I didn't type this in. What is the product that lots of inexpensive breakfast places use on their grill in place of butter? It's like a liquid margarine. I'm trying to find the, I don't see the brand name of it. But yeah, it it's full of all kinds of junk. It makes me feel so bad. I feel like there's like a film on the front of my face. Like it's like a, ugh. Whirl.
That kind of changes things, though, because whirl?
Whirl. Whirl.
Like
oil.
Swirl, whirl?
Whirl. That's it. W-H-I-R-L.
What's it full of?
It is full of, it has hydrogenated soybean oil.
Hydrogenated.
Thank you. I knew it was wrong. I figured, well, I was, after I said it, I was like, way to go, D.
Snuck it in there.
It's got hot ramen in it, so it's always the con.
I do get irritated if I go to a restaurant and they put out like a bread basket or toast, whatever, for biscuits, and the butter packets aren't actual butter. Mm-hmm. It's like margarine or spread. And it's, I go, terrible. What are you doing?
It's terrible for you.
And it doesn't taste good either. I don't like it. But I guess it's a cheap thing. Like you said, I guess it's monetary.
I like the places where they make their own butter. They'll like mix it with stuff. And it's creamy and so awesome.
Honey butter, cinnamon butter. Give me all of it.
Yeah, compound butter is easy to do too, man. Like you just take butter and melt it down and mix in whatever you like. You want to put some garlic in there.
And then what do you do? Like you just melt it and then...
And then so you can...
So you low heat melt it so it doesn't... cook?
I always kind of soften it.
Yeah.
I let it get to room temperature.
Yeah, room temp. I didn't mean like liquid. Just like room temp. Yeah. And then you can, to where you can, like Play-Doh almost.
Yeah.
And then you can put in a bowl and then you put in like garlic or some fresh herbs and whatever you're going to do.
And also if you add cinnamon, you can eat that
cinnamon
straight
and sugar
out of the.
I eat butter straight anyway.
I know you
do. So that's something you get is you get at that French place.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is a compound butter. That's not straight butter. That is a compound. Well, what they've added to it is, because I tasted it, it is
delicious.
Sea
is
salt.
It
They're
is.
Using that.
It's the blue sea salt whatever stuff, and you actually, it's amazing.
So they just put more into it. So that kind of stuff, you don't really cook with that, because that throws off
I don't. I literally get a butter knife, and I take slices, I just eat it.
Salt makes everything better. You could take butter, so you could take that butter and then just add cook up some bacon, get it really crisp and then break it up and have bacon butter.
You know, I'm going to say something and it's going to be the most embarrassing thing ever. I don't know how to cook bacon. I just throw it in the air fryer whenever
it's already done. What do you mean?
Like, it's already, like, I get the pre-cooked
bacon,
and I throw that in the air fryer.
Honey, that's what
I'm saying. I told you. I can't even do real eggs. I do them sunny side up every single time. You know why? Because it's the only way I know how to cook. I go, that's how it is.
So, do you like scrambled eggs?
I like all eggs. I like everything. But I'm like, I don't know. I never learned how to do any of that. I was
playing. I get it. I mean, there's a lot of ways to cook bacon, but... I think the best is more of a low and slow kind of oven or air fryer.
My mom did it in the broiler.
Yeah.
That's how she always made our bacon.
My mom fried it. Always had like greasy fried bacon.
Oh, I'm not mad about that.
Yeah.
So she just put it in a pan and heated it up.
It was good.
Okay. Yeah. I always liked loose bacon. Like when I didn't like crispy bacon, I wanted like fatty bacon.
Well, it was both.
So that was how my mom.
She would say depending on how long she left it in, it was either, crispy or not. So
yeah. I like I like to do it in the air fryer and put a, where it sits on top of a grate. So it can drip, because I don't like it so... I like it a little bit crispier than that. So it kind of renders off that fat, and you're left with the meat. But You know, you can also, it's kind of a weird thing. Like when you go buy bacon, I watched a lady years and years ago, she was buying bacon. You would watch people, they'll look at it, put it back, get more, put it back, and then they find the one they want. The reason bacon is sold with a big window on the backside of all bacon is so you can look at the striations in the meat. So you can go, oh, this one is more meat, this is more fat, or this is in the middle. So that way you can see it. Because when it comes off, it comes in different, when they're at the factory or whatever they call it.
Processing plant.
You're going to get different cuts of it. So you're going to get better, more meat, less meat, more fat, and that kind of stuff. And some people like it more fatty, but and that's fine. But if like, you want to use it for flavor. So now that's what I do. Kind of go through it and, you know, pick out the one. But that's what you need to do. But you're buying bacon that's already made. Paying a lot more money. You're paying a premium for that.
Yeah, it's like a couple bucks for the little pack. I don't know how much.
Yeah, there's not much in it.
Yeah, no, there's not. Yeah. And you can eat it straight out of the pack or you cook it. And I usually just cook it.
All you got to do is heat it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I buy bacon bits.
Real bacon bits?
No, because I don't eat it. I get little crunchy ones that I put on my salad. Take it. It's like it tastes smoky, but it gives me a little texture in the salad. And the problem is not everywhere sells it, so I have to go to a specific grocery store.
What is it made of?
Stuff. The same stuff that's in the Whirl.
Right.
I think it's all like weird oils, but they make it crunchy and it tastes smoky.
Here's some liquid smoke.
Great. And I'll buy like three or four at a time and just have them in my cupboards. So that way, in case I buy salad, I can just
get it. Did your mom wear out liquid smoke back in the day?
No, but I did. I used to put it on everything.
Yeah,
chemical fake smoke.
Yeah, I don't think
they've changed. The old recipes used to be a concoction. Now it's literally it's just smoke and water. Most places, that's all they do. Mm. And it's not bad for you. It's just, it's pretty potent though. Strong tasting.
Hmm.
You got to also make sure it's the right smoke flavor that you like. Kyle, I know too much about all that stuff. What in the world?
I get it.
That's what I should do. I need a cooking channel.
You do. Well, I told Bubba and I were talking about it one night because he was ordering from Too Good To Go, app where, hey, if they have food left over at the night, you can get stuff at a real big discount. They just throw together a grab bag. You never know what you're going to get. Because I started, it's in my algorithm. I watch the videos of people unboxing their Too Good To Go bags. And I said to Bubba, you need to do one of these. And he did. He made a video of him doing an unboxing. And I said, well, you do that. Maybe like I do a thrifting video, have D do a cooking video. And if we post those like one a week, which means we'd only have to do it every 4 to 5 weeks.
Like once
a month.
We have
Schaefer do something, have Garrett, just as like a little bonus. Mm. And I think it's something that you should do. It's just to let people in on, it would be a different video than us in the studio.
I like what Too Good To Go, man. I like the last one I went and I got. I don't know. Garrett might post it. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. He's not here right now, so he's at a wedding. Poor guy.
Poor guy.
You know what's going to happen, too. He's going to go, and they're going to have to set a date. Because I don't think they have a date set, right?
Mm-mm.
So, he's going to this wedding this weekend. They're going to have a date set when he gets back.
Did you guys see that Taylor Swift put a limit on how much Travis Kelce can spend on his bachelor party?
What?
You know what the limit is?
What?
$300,000. $10 million.
Oh, wait, what?
Yeah, because you're talking private jets and security.
Why do you need private jets?
To get their, wherever it is that they're going.
They can fly commercial? At that point, man.
Talking about? No. But also, if you're putting a limitation of $10 million on his bachelor party, how much is that wedding going to cost?
How much is her bachelorette party going to cost? Because, he's spending her money for the bachelor party.
I like to think her bachelorette party is going to be them holed up in one of her houses or apartments, and she's just going to bake. It's going to be a bunch of girls baking. She doesn't need to go be a woo girl in downtown Nashville. She doesn't need to go to Vegas and do it because she's Taylor Swift. Like, it should be her with her friends and her cats. That would be her bachelorette party, I think, is what she should do.
That's so... Why do we even have bachelor and bachelorette parties and stuff like that? That's like the dumbest thing.
So dumb.
Not to go back to it, but I just, I'm on the whirl thing now. sorry. Excuse me, if I may. Back to the whirl.
Pardon me, sirs.
You got the whole whirl in your hand?
Yeah, that's right. This guy goes, hey, I used to work at a seafood restaurant, and we were known for our lobster, I think it's lobster rolls. Lobster in our lobster dinners. It said, and the problem is the butter wasn't really butter. It was something called whirl, which is soybean oil that tastes like butter. It's a good imitation, but the customers don't know the difference. In fact, we would even put, we use real butter on the menu. God, I hate that. But people don't know it's 100% partially
hydrogenated
vegetable oil, a.k.a. trans fat, the really bad fat. 1 tablespoon of whirl has 2 grams of trans fat per serving, which happens to be the maximum amount of trans fat recommended that people consume, probably less. It causes heart disease, clogs up your arteries. It's terrible for you. And people would ask for extra butter. And so they would just bring it out, and they're just drinking trans fat oil.
On a lobster roll.
It's just like, God, you just take something so good and then you ruin it. It's like putting mayonnaise on something. you know what I did yesterday?
What? You ate mayo?
I did.
What?
Oh, what did you use it for?
I made my own
like a remoulade?
Ranch dressing.
Oh, okay.
So I used buttermilk, mayo. Eh. Yeah. That packet, which I'm not a fan of, the Hidden Valley Ranch seasoning packet, it's got crap in it. And put that in there, a little bit of lemon juice and pepper, and then just shook it up and refrigerated it. Hmm. That's exactly what restaurants do. By the way, if you have a restaurant, you're like, oh, this is my favorite, though, is that blah, blah, blah. Sattler's, they have the best blue cheese or ranch dressing. They're doing the exact same thing.
I feel like I can taste when it's Hidden Valley Ranch because I don't like
it. Here's the thing. No, it's not Hidden Valley Ranch. It's just the packet. Right. The Hidden Valley Ranch this Hidden Valley Ranch dressing that you buy, it's already done, tastes completely different than what I bought, than what I made.
Well, because I've used the packet when I've made a dip before, and I liked it.
But yes.
But there are some restaurants that you can tell are using their dressing, that when you order ranch dressing, it's
terrible.
Yeah, because it's the Hidden Valley Ranch dressing. It's not the packet.
Yeah, right.
And that's
the key. Bleh. Yep, not good.
Yeah, I don't want that. Yep. I don't want to dip my fries in that.
It's got a weird, the texture is weird. Mm-hmm. It's more mayo-y, and it should be a little less, like, I don't know. A
little more liquidy.
More liquidy. Yeah. Yeah. And you can put all kinds of like fresh herbs in that if you wanted. Yeah. You could like freshen it up with some cilantro or whatever. Just kind of give it some life.
Mm.
But man,
dude, I love a good jalapeno ranch. Little kick. That's the good. That's the good stuff.
That's the good stuff.
That's the good stuff.
I don't like ranch at all.
It's
weird because I love all things mayo, really, but ranch, I'm like, give me blue cheese all day.
Blue cheese, man. And give me extra blue. You know what I'm a sucker for?
Suckers?
Yeah. I love those dumb. I love the suckers that have the gum in them.
Oh, really? Blow pops?
Many blow pops.
They're so gross.
They're so good.
They seem like such a great idea until. And then, like.
And you're getting it out of your teeth.
Well, you're licking it down and you're like, that it starts to expose the gum on one side, but not the other. And then you start crunching into it. Now you've got remnants of a lollipop sitting in your gum.
Yeah. I will fall for fish and chips. If you have fish and chips on the menu, I've had to like slap my hand recently and be like, don't do that. It's going to not be great. And it's not. It's never really great. It's usually small fish, way too much batter. And the other one is a wedge. I will buy a wedge
salad
every time.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know how to eat that. I look at it. I'm like, it's too big.
You got to cut it with a knife.
Yeah, I know.
You do. That's how you do it.
It's work.
But it's a cold wedge. And blue cheese
bacon.
With bacon and
tomatoes. See it with tomatoes.
So yeah, it's usually. But I'm not. With the extra blue cheese crumbles, man, dang.
I'll tell you, I'm a sucker for two things on a menu. It's tater tots If you tell me you have tots in any form, I'm gonna try them. And then if you do,
what's your favorite tot? What's your favorite tot?
Oh. Ooh, that's a.
If you go, oh, hey,
hers
we have
is more of the hottie toddy, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
they do a little
yours
hottie
is a little different because you don't eat meat.
Yeah.
So you're having to think more cream sauce stuff.
I actually really like tots. This is the second part. If you do like a garlic parmesan fries or something, I'll order that. But if you can give me garlic parmesan tots, and there's a few places that will do it, and that is my utopia of food. I want that I will order that anywhere. I don't care. The rest of you could be having your high-end steak. And I'm going to have the lobster, the surf and turf. And I'm like, I'll have the tots.
and do you dip it in anything, like ketchup?
No, usually if they give you, it's got to be like a garlicky aioli. The problem is if you do a garlic parmesan, I don't want ketchup on that.
Sure.
So I want the aioli, which, sorry to hear mayo, but that's...
What's the other one that you like to get?
It's the garlic parmesan. But I also will try a mac and cheese. Anywhere. If you have mac and cheese, the problem is, you're right. I told you the other day.
That's my fish and chips. I know.
Yeah. I went out to dinner and the place we went was a lot of meat options. So I was like, hey, can I just do a bunch of sides? And I ordered their mac and cheese. And when I tell you, it was actually gross. I took a bite and I said, oh, what? And it's not even that it was, there was too much flavor. It was bland and it was just. It was soggy pasta with, I don't even know what the cheese was that they used. It just wasn't good. And I thought, how do you screw up mac and cheese?
People do it all the time.
They do.
Yeah.
And I always fall for it. Yep. Always.
Oh, they make it like it's artisanal.
Yes. Yes.
And you just like, why? Because you chopped up some.
Yeah. You didn't even put pepper on it.
Oh, I love pepper. Do you use white pepper much?
Mm-mm.
What is white pepper?
Man, I'm not even positive. It's just a different of the peppercorn. It's a different, plant, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a little different. It's a white pepper is used a lot in some Cajun dishes.
I don't think I've ever heard of white pepper.
Hmm. Yeah,
I don't know, unless it's just pepper.
Mm-hmm. Pepper's good if you, that's why pepper grinders are more of a thing, because pepper needs to be freshly ground for the taste. Same thing with garlic.
Yeah, I do have a grinder at the house.
Yeah. Do you have a salt bin, like a salt container that you...
Oh, like so I can salt bay it? No, I just have like a...
Yeah, it's like a salt bay. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I actually have a salt grinder, too, I do that if I get the... Usually I get these sea salt crystals.
Yeah.
And do a little grindy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. But I was at a restaurant once, and they came over. And they're like, "Oh, would you like fresh pepper on your salad?" I'm like, "Yes, I would." And their grinder,
it's like the SNL skit,
yeah, right.
Adam Sandler.
They came over and they went to go grind it, and there was something wrong with the grinder, and it just dumped peppercorns onto the salad. And they're like, "Oh, sorry about that." I'm like, "You know, I can't eat that. These are going to break my teeth."
Yeah, this is.
And I'm like, "You know, you have to get this remade." I'm sorry, but
seeing that's a problem. That's a problem.
Yep.
That's why I don't like going to restaurants.
Yep.
Because that happened, and the person has, it's like Bubba working there. He has no idea about food at all.
Yeah.
That's who's cooking your food.
Yeah.
The guy who has the really great restaurant that he started, and he makes burgers or a rib plate or barbecue plate, that's great. If he's cooking it,
mm-hmm.
and what happens is he's not there. He's doing something else, and he taught someone how to do it. And it's usually the fifth person that is taught.
So it's like a copy of a copy of a copy?
Exactly. So by the time that you're eating it, especially that place has been around there for a while, it doesn't taste great.
Yep.
And the owner should go back and eat his food, quote, and correct it.
I never thought about that. I wonder if they do eat their own restaurant food.
I don't know.
What about Himalayan pink salt? do you think that is the muscles, the petrified muscles of giants?
And just like that.
You've never heard that?
What? No, I haven't. What is
Google
that?
It. Okay, yeah, okay. There's like a lot of people saying, yeah, you can go look at Himalayan.
I'm telling you, if I type in Himalayan pink salt, and then what'd you say?
Giant. Yeah, just
I'm just going to put giant and see if anything is there.
Like, were they turned
the
into
Enoch?
Salt?
What are we doing?
Were they turned into salt by God? You're going to find it. It's all there.
Well, I mean, are we talking about giants or are we talking about Lot?
Himalayan salt come from giants that once roamed Earth.
Yes.
It looks like the body tissue. That's where they say they get pink
Yeah, if you
salt
look
from.
At it, it looks like meat.
Huh. Well...
Himalayan salt.
Oh, geez. Now, now you just, I clicked it. Now I'm on YouTube.
It's so screwed up.
Now I'm just going to, oh, you like that? Hey, you must know Bubba. We'll give you all kinds of stuff. Wait a second.
Look at this, Carson. Look, this is Himalayan pink salt out in the wild. What does it look like? It looks like slabs of meat just laying around.
How about just let, I'm going to ask the question, let her answer.
Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. Carson, what
no,
does
you've
that
already
look
answered
like?
It. It's fine. It's fine.
Because that's fine. What it looks like.
Gosh.
And it
oh
looks like the, like the fatty striations and all that kind of stuff is all in there. It's crazy.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, doesn't it come from like a cave? Isn't it?
That's what yeah, I would have
where
thought.
Where they buried
a mineral.
The giants.
No, I mean, the cave is made of it. That's what I'm
yeah.
saying.
Yeah, petrified giant caves.
And I don't know. I think it comes from, I think it's just because of the color. It kind of looks like meat. But I don't know.
Yeah. It's pink.
Hemoglobin, by the way, is what that is called.
Oh, fancy.
Hemoglobin? Or
yeah, so you... like when you you buy a meat, piece of meat or something at the
it's
grocery
not
store.
Hemoglobin.
Isn't it blood?
No, it's not blood. It's hema something, but it's not globin because that is actual blood.
Hemoglobin.
The stuff that's in the bot, like when you pick the piece of meat up and it has that little pad that's underneath it or whatever.
Yeah.
That's not blood.
It's so your muscles are myoglobin.
Myoglobin.
That's
bad.
It. I had it wrong. I said hemo, but yeah, myoglobin. It's not actually it's not blood. It's the way the muscles repair themselves. Like when you go to the gym and do the little tears, the micro tears in your muscle, the myoglobin helps to heal the tears.
Who would have thought?
Neat.
Who would have thought? Yeah, myoglobin. Yeah, Bob, you don't cook breakfast or anything, do you?
No. So I only eat breakfast when I go to my mom's because she makes sure that I eat breakfast.
So if you could make your own breakfast, what would be your perfect breakfast?
When I do, because it when I say I do, like once every 2 or 3 months, I will make a breakfast on a Saturday morning, and it'll be banana pancakes. I just take bananas, throw some eggs in there, a little cassava flour for a thickener to help hold it together, and I just
dude,
throw it
you
on
can,
like...
Dude, you can cook. You can cook. If you can do that, can cook.
It's
baking.
It's making pancakes is all you're doing. That's not
yeah, but that's chemistry.
That's harder to do than making eggs.
Yeah, because when you get
can
into
screw
baking,
that up.
I
it
screw
is.
Up eggs.
No, I'm saying it's easy. It's easier to screw up pancakes than eggs. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what you're saying. But you're probably cooking eggs way too hot.
Low and slow, bro.
Yeah, the only difference between the eggs you're making and scrambled eggs is literally just breaking the yolk up.
Yeah,
and mixing it up.
Do you know how I make eggs? I take a coffee mug and I crack two eggs into the coffee
don't
mug
you,
and I stir
it
up and I put it in the microwave and it does that thing like soap. It goes bubbles up and then you go and I eat that out of there and I throw a little salt on it.
Just imagine what it smells like.
Oh, it smells like this place after the Super Bowl predictions.
Did you cook at all?
A little.
What do you cook?
Not much. I mean, if I do cook, it's usually breakfast.
What is that?
It's usually bacon and eggs.
And you put your bacon in a cast iron or something, or a pan or something?
Sometimes. Sometimes it's cast iron. Yeah. Or I do have like a griddle flat plate that I'll put them onto.
Okay.
Just because it's easy.
Yeah.
Easy cleanup.
And you do eggs?
Mm-hmm. I always scramble them.
Yeah, me too.
I omelet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm an omelet girl.
Those omelet bars, man. Mm. Again, whirl.
Yep. Well, that's why, like, my favorite thing when I, go visit my family, we have to go to my favorite diner, which is where I want my cheese omelet, my three cheese omelet, the white toast, because there's something about diner toast and the butter. And then I also want pancakes. Like, I want all of it. And that was the one thing. We learned it in home ec. It was one of the first things we learned how to make was an omelet. And I never forgot kind of the skills for that. And so I'll, depending on my mood, I might do, like, feta with spinach, or I'll throw some sun-dried tomatoes in, or I'll just do like a three cheese, or I'll do it with a Mexican cheese.
Yeah, it's like a perfect dish for you if you don't eat meat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you have a really good pan for that because of its.
Yeah, but it's another one that if you do it on a lower heat and you really let it take the time, you don't have to worry as much about sticking.
Okay.
That it will, you just have to have the patience. Yeah, I have nonstick.
Okay.
But I have, like, sometimes I've done it at my parents' house where my mother does not have nonstick.
What'd she use?
I don't know. It's some set of pans she bought before I was born. And they cost her a ton of money, but she has had those.
They're just like metal looking.
Yeah, they've got really heavy duty like black handles and grips, and but you do have to cook properly in them because you can scorch them.
You gotta let them heat up slowly.
Yep. But that's what she uses for. It doesn't matter if she's making what do you call it, beef bourguignon, or if she's making her sauce, or she'll
make that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I always said, like, if I ever ate meat again, the first thing I would want is my mother's beef bourguignon. It was spectacular.
Does she follow her own thing? She do, hello!
Julia Child. I don't know. She always had it's the picnic looking book. Is it Betty Crocker or Better Homes and Gardens? Yeah. She's got a couple of those. It's a picnic table. I don't like, that's where I believe she got her cheesecake recipe, which is phenomenal. I'm not sure though if the beef bourguignon she just made up on her own, but it's I know there's like red wine in it.
Yeah.
The sauce is great. We would have the egg noodles. There would be button mushrooms in it. They're onions. I would pick those out, but they were big enough that they didn't get in my way. I could just slide them to the side. But it was whatever that bourguignon sauce is.
That rich.
Oh my gosh. So it's spectacular.
Good. Is it wine?
There is wine in it. Yeah. But okay. It's a brown sauce and it's
alcohol
it's
cooks out.
So, yeah. It's so, so good. It has to be my favorite thing she does.
Does she
made.
Do it? Like she takes everything, she puts it on a cheesecloth and kind of lets it.
You know, the problem is it's been so long. I have no idea how she actually made it because I was a kid. That I don't think she's made it in years. But she would do that. And she would do chicken croquettes. You guys ever have a croquette?
Oh, yeah. I love croquettes.
Yeah, they were delicious. And with a white gravy, those were really good. I remember that. She used to have to make me my own meatloaf because I didn't eat onions. Which basically was hamburger that she put in a little rectangle pan for me. It was basically a burger, but it was fine. But yeah, that beef bourguignon is... That was the best.
Did you buy the Rolling Stones rum yet?
No, the new one, the Jamaican. Yeah, they put out because they've had Crossfire Hurricane for a while, and now it's the Jamaican brand. No, I'm not buying.
You're wearing
Stones.
Your Stones shirt right now.
Yeah,
because
it's cold. it was chilly this morning, and it's a big sweatshirt.
But you're also a super fan.
I'm trying to go get my passport Monday because on the off chance they announce a European tour, I got to skedaddle.
You're gonna fly.
Look, man, that's what gets me on planes. When I went to go see Def Leppard at the Whiskey a couple of years ago, it was like, you can go see Def Leppard in a room with 200 people. Fine, I'll get on a plane. I will drink. I bought.
You went to England to see Def Leppard.
Sure did. But yeah, when I got on that flight to L.A. to go see Leppard, and it was like middle of the afternoon, so wide awake, and obviously my heart rate is like 128 the entire flight, and they sit. The poor woman next to me at Southwest, last flight that's open, her family's all separated, and she's kind of like, hey, I get a break from the kids, right? And here I am next to her. I'm like, hi, you're going to talk to me because I think we're going to die. How are you? I am a delight. and so finally they come around with drink service, and I was like, what do you want to drink? She's like, no. I said, no, I owe you booze. And she's like, are you sure? I go, yes, ma'am. What would you like to drink? And so I just fed her alcohol the whole time because I appreciate her taking one for the team and sitting with me.
Right.
I do that for people. I'll buy them drinks. And they're much more agreeable to deal with me for 3 or 4 hours.
Oh, that's pretty great.
Yep.
Hopefully one day you'll get over your fear of flying.
We shall see. But I figure this is a good first step is getting the passport.
So if we ever did a thing where we set up a deal with a flight school, would you ever go up on the air? And learn to fly?
Yes, because I've been told, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a pilot, like you guys, he's building his own plane. He's got one of those kits.
Mm-hmm.
And he said there's some influencer that he follows, and she, same thing, she was afraid to fly, so she started taking lessons. And she started filming it just for her own, and she posted it on TikTok, and she then gained this following. And they say that's a really good way to get over your fear is to...
Yeah, because when you're flying commercial, you can feel rudder inputs and all kinds of things. And you're like, oh, I know what's going on.
Yeah. And so I thought that I would because I do want to get over it. I used to not be afraid to fly, and it was great. I would just get on a flight. It was Pavlovian. I'd put my head up against the window, and I'd fall asleep. And then I just had a panic attack, and it's been changed ever since. And so I would like to go back to – the only thing I will say is, let's say I got over my fear of flying. Oh, my God, my financial decisions would become even dumber. Then I'd be like, hey, guys, Bang Tango is playing on Saturday night. I'm going to pop a flight. See you all Monday.
Why not? It just – it only enhances your life.
Yeah. It just, well, it would totally drain my bank account. But
– you know what? You can't take it with you.
That's true. Life's too short. So that's the thing. I go, that's the only thing that I think keeps me financially solvent is the fact that I won't get on a plane and do stupid things. But we'll change that. We'll see. So I'm trying.
We should do that. We should, Bubba, we should call some of our guys, see if we can't get it, like a bid on the air too.
Yeah.
Be fun to hear all the, would you go into like a small plane, like a prop, single prop?
Yeah. I don't love the idea, but also I feel better about the idea of that. I can see that, like, you know, the windshield would be in front of me. And I'm not saying that's where the genesis of my fear is, that I can't see what's going on, but I think there's something about being able to be more aware of what's going on around me.
We can get with a flight school. I think so. I mean, here's, and this is something for anybody who's listening right now. You can go to any flight school, and believe me, airports are all around you that have flight schools. Whatever the airport closest to you is, just call or even get on Yelp and look for a flight school, whatever it is. And ask for, it's called, what is it? It's a Discovery Flight?
Yeah.
Isn't that what it's? Yeah, it's a Discovery Flight. And it's basically, you go up for an hour with an instructor, and they just kind of say, okay, here's what we're doing, here's what's up. And at the very least, I suggest that everybody does it. If you have any curiosity, whether you want to become a pilot or not, whether it's out of fear or just curiosity, you learn about how the plane works, and you'll have your feet on the rudder pedals, and you'll feel the yoke in your hands, and you'll know that up and down and whatever, you know, the different ways that you can fly, and it changes the way you fly forever. Yeah. And it's, I would probably say, with the price of fuel and everything, around $200, wouldn't you think, is somewhere 200-ish for a Discovery flight at this point? Somewhere in that ballpark.
You think it's maybe?
Well, yeah, I mean, fuel's up.
Yeah, yeah, it could be.
So
just go for 30 minutes instead of an hour.
Yeah,
or whatever,
but it's a really cool thing, and you get to, you know, feel what it's like. You also get to see what the pilot sees on approach, and so you'll understand the angles whenever the plane does little things. You're like, oh, I get it now. I see in my head what they see up front.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful to me. I've been on flights where there was one. I was coming back from Boston. And the flight attendant, she was just, like, she obviously was stationed out of Boston because that was a hard New England woman. So at some point, we've got like half an hour left. We hadn't started descent yet, but we've got time left in the flight. And they were like, hey, you know, if you could put on your seatbelts, we're anticipating, you know, a little, just a few bumps. It wasn't anything big. And she just looked at the intercom. She's like, nah. And she just sat there in the galley and was like making things and cleaning up. And I was like, if this chick is not even concerned about, I'm like, I think I'll be fine. And it was like, it was total. And she just, she's like, yeah, this ain't my first rodeo. I think if she could have smoked, she would have. It was great. But I do, there have been flight attendants who have seen me that I guess I'm so visibly agitated that they have come up to me during takeoff. Like, do you need a bathroom? Cause they always think I need to pee. And I'm like, no, I'm just afraid we're going to die. And they, I've had them sit with me and talk with me. They're so lovely. But it's just an irrational fear, and you can't rationalize your way out of something irrational.
I do want to warn people, if you do take the Discovery flight, there is a chance that you get bitten by the bug. And you're going to end up going broke paying for flight lessons because it changes you.
Yeah.
It really does. And I think it would be good for you especially.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll make this happen.
Okay. One of these years.
So you would be, but you would be okay with us doing it on the show and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
D, we know what we got to do now.
It's going to happen.
Going to happen.
All right, going to happen. Yeah. Let's everybody, Google Himalayan pink sea salt and giants.
No!
So you can find out about that. Oh,
I'm
by
not
the
screwing up my algorithm.
It's going to be May.
It's May.
It is
all
May.
Right. Are we done?
Yeah, same. We're still done after you ask.
Right, cool. Twice now, yes, I wasn't paying attention because I had to go and play the gold.
It's going to be May.
All right. And well, that was because it keeps going.
It's
going
to be May.
It's going to be May.
It's going to be May.
It's going to be May.
All right, Ty Herndon after the closing jingle.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio
every May.
Yeah.
It was the Big D and Bubba Weekly podcast.
It's gonna be the Big D and Bubba Weekly podcast.
Now I'm circled back.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly podcast. It's the Big D and Bubba Weekly podcast.
So silly.
Ty Herndon, my goodness, what in the world are you doing? Writing books, singing songs, saving...
Haven't aged a day, which is weird.
Is that dye? Is that...
Thank you, man. Like, I appreciate that.
There's got to be some dye going on in that. Jeez.
I have a contract, but it's not with the devil. If you're going through hell, just keep going. I've already done that.
All right, so this book is called What Mattered Most. I mean, this thing is... People can't get enough of it, apparently.
Man, I'm so honored. You know, this awesome book company, but we've been riding up there at number one, and you know, it's to be able to have that kind of authenticity. I hope 100 years from now, it doesn't have dust on it. It's like, you know, some of my favorite books, like The Velvet Rage, that it becomes a self-help situation where somebody has gone through a lot, but been able to make sense of it and figure out what it is, how to get on the other side of it, and how to live a full, beautiful life. That's what this book is about. It's the reason I did it.
Do you think that if you came out gay today, that anyone would care?
I think they're probably going to care more if I go back in the closet. Yeah, at this point, you know, I think it's all going to start going backwards. Yeah, it's
like,
I've had enough of this.
You read,
you know?
That happens all the time.
Yeah, I've had enough. I've changed my mind. You know,
so, at the end of the book, that's the change.
Psych.
Watch out! Gotcha.
The book really got 9 kids.
It's called What Mattered Most. Boy, I tell you what, you look at all the songs of the years, What Mattered Most, of course, Living in the Moment, Must Be Love, Hands of the Working Man, all these songs. In 30 years of doing this, we see a lot of artists that come in, mm-hmm. from young to legacy, in-betweens, and I always sense under the surface a struggle, like there's a angst about them.
There's right. a lot of struggle. There's a lot to struggle with, not right. only musically, but also
management
and
labels,
expectations, personal expectations,
ticket
fans
sales.
Expectations.
Right, man.
Everything.
Well, you know, this book is actually a lot of what not to do in there. I've learned from my mistakes, you know, people being a people pleaser and just trying your best to figure out who you are in a business where if they found out your secrets, that you'd be tossed out on your head. You know, and there was no balance. There was only nightmare stuff. And once you enter the land of nightmare, it just gets worse and worse. And then you find yourself not able to breathe. I ended up in a place where it was so dark that I didn't want to be on this planet anymore.
And you know, how close did you come to make that decision?
In 2020, on a New Year's morning, I had a handful of Ambien, and it's so. It's at 6 a.m. in the morning. I had made peace with the decision. I had left a legacy of music. I've been great to people. I have a life well lived in my head, and it just really would be a perfect time to not have to do this anymore. You know, in the second time the world stopped turning during COVID, you found yourself alone, and you know. But there's been this thing with me. I come from a legacy of strong women in my life, and a legacy of American Indian. I do believe in. In that moment, it wasn't my time. I had lost a really dear nephew, accidentally had an overdose. And the kid never wears shoes and socks or shirt, you know. And he appeared to me that morning, and he said, Uncle Ty, he goes, look what my death did to this family. Don't add to that. And about that time, the phone rang, which was across the room. And this is amazing stuff, guys. And it was Debbie Carroll from Music Cares. And she, to this day, we argue about who made the phone call. I certainly don't remember making it.
She thinks you called her. You think she called.
Yeah. Both of your phones just rang.
Yeah. So there it was in the book. And it was so great to have someone like her, you know, to verify my story on that. And she goes, it doesn't matter how it happened, man. We're talking.
It happened.
And then she got another beautiful lady named Shireen Jaunty on the line who made me laugh. She's like, baby, you need to get up. Let's go flush them pills. You know, she had me laughing and making me feel worthy. And I was on an airplane the next morning for the greatest journey of my life with Jay Flowers Institute. I started my mental health journey. It wasn't about drugs and alcohol. It was about what was going on in these blood and bones that allowed me to keep living and live successfully.
Man, that's amazing that you were able to turn that off, because so many don't. So many people can't find that place, whatever. You don't even want to call it strength, but so many people can't find that spot to go, you know what, I've completely hit rock bottom.
Yes.
But there is a ladder, and there's a way out of this hole. I just have to find it. It's in the dark.
It's in the dark.
I'm going to feel around, but it's there.
And this is what this book is for me. It's where their hand was reached back to me, my hand is now reaching back. There are answers.
That's so awesome.
It doesn't matter how it, guys, how, you know, you, it doesn't matter if people call you crazy. Then go crazy with your story, because it's, if it's your truth, it's your truth. And I'm telling you right now, the only thing that will set you free is owning everything about your DNA and losing shame and just going, okay, this is my story. I don't know how the heck I got here, but here I am.
Life happens.
And I'm going to be okay.
It's a great book. You can you pick it up. It's called What Mattered Most. It's a memoir of from Ty Herndon. Dude, so good to see you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for making me laugh, and thanks for going into those tough rooms as well. I appreciate
it. Man, people need to hear it. People need to hear it.
Somebody right now who's putting those pills and going, flush them.
Yep.
Amen. You know, and I truly believe that. You know, again, just like that phone call. Somebody called somebody. Your appearance here on the show could be that phone call for someone.
Wow. Don't make me cry, dude.
Yeah, he's going to make me cry.
I'm a cowboy.
Yeah, hey, I'm a tough guy. The one and only Ty Herndon, everyone. Thanks, Ty.